Hello and welcome to episode number 63 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I am noted Illini football enthusiast Robert Rosenthal.
We are inside the Armory on the campus of the University of Illinois in the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. Today on the program, we're going to continue our dive into Illinois football camp. And Robert, I was thinking about you as I was trying to find a parking spot here yet again. It's move-in time. And there were still plenty of flashers out.
Lots of cars with their flashers
hazards
on.
Yes.
Hazards. That's what I need to start doing. That would be really helpful in not getting people confused.
Yes.
Yes.
But the other thing is I was looking for a spot, circled around a few times, saw one, but I was going the other way. This is on 4th Street. I went right by it, went up to a driveway, turned around. By the time I came back, somebody had taken.
Did you consider the nose into it and then turn around that way by just like stick the nose in to claim it kind of thing?
No, I didn't want to do a Costanza.
Yes.
But I thought of you. Illinois license plate.
Uh-huh.
License plate holder.
Yeah.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
But you know what that means.
Okay, yeah, it's fine. Somebody went to Indiana and then now they live in the state. That's fine.
No, that's probably somebody who's, is Indiana, but is Indiana alum, but that means.
It wasn't like an alumni plate, right? With a black eye? Because if that was the case, we've got issues.
No, it was just a regular government issued. Well, I guess they're all government issued, but your standard Illinois license.
I got the block eye on my plate. Are you kidding me? Maybe people don't know that. A PSA from your old friend Robert. Did you know you can have the block eye on your license plate? I think it says Alumni Association. Is that what it is? I don't know. I had to get it. Have to have it.
I'm pretty sure at this point anybody who's observed the podcast now knows entirely how to find your car in town.
You want to know what my license plate was when I graduated from here?
Do I?
Uh-huh. You do. It was RAR, Robert A. Rosenthal, UI, University of Illinois, 96, when I graduated. I just want to declare to the world three things about me. Here's my initials. Here's where I went to school. Here's what year I graduated. I missed that plate. Got it on the wall in the garage.
Well, then how come you're missing it?
Because then I moved to Missouri. So I couldn't have an Illinois, I didn't have an Illinois plate anymore. So,
fair.
And I lived in the state of Missouri for then the next 24 years on that side of the river before moving back to this side of the river.
Well, it all makes sense now.
It does. It does. RARUI 96. Shout out to my 1989 Pontiac Sunbird.
So there's a lot of traffic. And speaking of traffic, we brought this up back in the springtime. We first heard a hint of it, but Illinois just re-released this information that you need to know if you're going to go to a football game. This would impact you, Robert. You're going to go to a football game.
I'm going to go to a couple football games, yes.
There's people that are going to go to a football game, and they're going to go, I know what I need to do to go to a football game. I've been doing it for years. But in fact, it's going to be different this year. Somebody moved your cheese, and you need to be able to adapt because the traffic flow is going to be different. We're going to dive into this deeper on an episode, but PSA, you might want to check it out. If you just think you're going to take, you explain.
Well, I think people will really like it because with the sellouts last year, getting in and out, getting in just before the game, like maybe 45 minutes before the game, especially getting out, became a bit of a mess because here's the thing. When you sell out football games, there's a lot of cars and there's a lot of people and everybody's trying to go the same direction at the same time.
There's a lot of stopping and parking and flashers all around.
Yeah, tons of flashers. So the move is to if you're in these lots, you access from this point. If you're in these lots, here's your road. And it's, look, if anybody's been to a game at Penn State, they have like six different designated routes. And as you enter that route, like a mile from the stadium, you have to show you're supposed to be on that route because you have a thing for lot 84 or whatever. And it's just how these bigger stadiums handle it. Never been a problem in Illinois before, but was a problem last year. So now people just, if you have a parking pass, you need to know the route to get to that lot. For example, if somebody's in 42 or 45, which one's the one on the corner? They're all in Urbana. I don't know those lots. No, that's actually still Champaign. Urbana doesn't start until the baseball field.
After the baseball field.
Yes. They're on 42 or 45. I think 45 is on the corner of 4th and Kirby / Florida. Now you have to come in from Lincoln. You have to come in from Urbana. You can't come up 4th Street. You can't come from St. Mary's. You can't come down 4th Street. You have to access those lots by baseball and softball and Ubbin. You have to come in starting at Florida and Lincoln. There will be somebody there looking at your parking pass all the way out there, and that's how you come in. So there's going to be a lot of people in the first game that have just, I would just come up 4th Street, turn into my lot. Not anymore. So check those maps on the Illini website.
I think where the real frustration will become is if you do come in the wrong way, you're going to be sent out back and around some way that really is going to add time. And you won't do it again because yes. You'll remember, but it's going to be frustrating that one time it happened. So check the map and save yourself some time. And yes, I have been to a game at Penn State.
Yeah.
I parked in a regular lot. I didn't park in, let's say, a fraternity lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was fraternities that were maybe taking cash for parking spots, you know.
Yeah, the official media
using
lot.
It as a, never mind.
The official media lot for the game, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? When was the last time we were there? 3 years ago. Leaving, that's the craziest stadium to leave. Like, you just talk to the people, they're like, why are you trying to leave within 45 minutes of the game? Like, you know you're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to sit in your car, so just go tailgate. Because anyone trying to leave immediately after the game, it's an hour. It's an hour before you can even get to an arterial road or anything else. So, to avoid those issues here in Champaign-Urbana, there's a new route for everybody.
So football games are coming soon, September 3rd. Illinois had a couple of scrimmages now. We're going to talk some Illinois defense. It's a new defense.
Have you heard?
It's a 3-3-5, but not really, but probably, right?
But maybe, who knows, have to see on the 3rd.
You never know.
Yes.
You never know. So, before we talk anything more about football, what do we do, Roberts?
We liked the eye.
First, a couple of highlights, and there's going to be a lot more opportunity for highlights. I've got two.
Okay.
Let's start with soccer tonight. By the time you're consuming this podcast, it may well be over, but Illinois soccer is hosting the Cincinnati Bearcats out of the Big 12. Mm-hmm. In case you didn't know, Cincinnati's in the Big 12. So Illinois will look to get their first win. Remember, they drew a week ago.
Haven't lost. Undefeated so far.
They are undefeated, but They need to find the net this time. 0-0 draw, impressive defense.
Mm-hmm.
Got to convert on your chances.
Are you calling this one?
I am. Okay. I'll be, as soon as we're done with this, I'm going over there.
Okay, good. Excellent.
The other piece of news was the football captains were announced as voted on by their peers.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Matt Bailey mom video?
Yes.
Did you cry?
Lumpy throat.
Mm-hmm. Lumpy, yes.
Lumpy throat.
Cutting onions.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, Matt Bailey is one of the captains. So is center Jake Renfro. So is quarterback Caton Hauser, so is running back Aiden Loffrey, so is wide receiver Colin Dixon, and so is one other guy on defense that I can't remember. Xavier Scott.
Yep.
Now I remember it. There you go. There's six. It's pretty good
pulling that from memory.
Yeah. What I remembered was there's four on offense and two on defense. Usually it's 3-3, or sometimes there's a special teamer in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he lets them vote. Like, he lets the players, like, who are the leaders of this team? He lets that be a completely player-led thing, so...
Here's my question. I didn't look it up.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time a first year quarterback was a captain?
Good question. I don't know.
Because famously Luke Altmaier wasn't, but
For his first year.
For his first year. But then he wasn't his second year either, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think it wasn't until last year that he was a captain or voted a captain.
So here's Caton Hauser, who, you know, just finally got, doesn't need the map around campus anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a captain.
Yep. And, I mean, you know, we've talked several times about him organizing the trip to go work out with his top receivers and everything else. Like, you know, he has shown those type, the coaches have talked about his leadership skills and how he's a vocal leader and all this kind of stuff. So it's good to see that his teammates are voting him captain for his one season here.
And Jake Renfro, who's in his 72nd season of college football as the center. I mean, it makes sense. You almost, if you're a center, you almost kind of have to be a captain.
Good point. Yeah.
But it just, if you weren't voted captain as a center, like, and with that amount of experience, so it just shows like he, what he, it exactly is what you think he would be on paper, a seventh year guy. Yes, 7 years, and jives with the conversation we had with him on our podcast a few episodes ago.
Yep, definitely. And he's the, I just love the, I love the Illini flavor to these captains. Like, you know, grew up an Illini fan and his dad here and, you know, told us his first game. He was very, very young and he was coming to games here, you know, pretty much his whole life. So to get one final season here and to do it as a captain, it's just, the vibes are high.
Yeah. And the Matthew Bailey video, you haven't had a chance, go check it out on their social media channels, because it's a guy who was denied a scholarship offer the first time he visited here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And look at him
all
now.
All the way till late in January of his senior year of high school before that scholarship offer came. And now, I mean, as Coach said in the video, and now one of the top players in college football, and I really do believe that.
We are brought to you by the U of I Credit Union. If you haven't done so, would you take a moment to like and subscribe to this podcast? Leave us a comment, rate, review, whatever you like. It all helps us grow. We'll be right back. When I think of the defense, I think 3-3-5.
Yes.
And Bobby Hauck, the new defensive coordinator.
Yes.
What do you think?
I mean,
how does defense make Robert feel?
Yes. Math makes maybe feel. It's always this thing that makes the coaches laugh because they'll get questions. And, you know, it's not like there's always going to be a specific defense. Every coach will tell you then that, like we're multiple. We're going to have different looks. If the offense does this, we're going to shift to this, and then we're not a 3-3-5. So, yes, it's based in the guy who gets credit for the whole defense. It's based in Rocky Long. He was at New Mexico. He was at San Diego State. It's based in that defense. If Bears fans watched college highlights of Brian Urlacher, he played in the position Matt Bailey's going to play, which is go make every tackle. It's this, you know, a guy in the middle, in the back, that cleans up everything. And if you have a guy who's a great tackler there, and he has great instincts and he doesn't get faked out of things, then, as Urlacher did at New Mexico before going to the Bears, he, you know, Bears fans, I think some know that he was more of a safety in college than he was a linebacker. But you have that bigger hybrid safety linebacker type that can do everything. And I think that's probably the best way I think to describe the defense, is make it something that Matt Bailey can go be Matt Bailey. And so much is centered around what he does in the middle.
Which means Matt Bailey is much more mobile than your average linebacker, but also maybe a little bit thicker than your average safety.
Definitely. Definitely. That's why, I mean, they called the position the Lobo with Rocky Long back at the, you know, they've called it the Aztec before. It's usually related to, you know, whatever school is run up, but there's usually that one guy, in the middle of the defense making the plays. I've used the analogy that it's kind of similar to the 2015 defense here with Clayton Fedulum, where partially into that season they realized they had a guy who just didn't miss a tackle ever, and so they just started funneling things to him. You know, other players, their job might be not to make the tackle but to force the play back inside, so that this missile in the middle can come flying around and making all the plays. So I think a lot of it we're going to see is that. I'm expecting, well, hopefully he's out of the game by the middle of the third quarter because the score is 38-0, but I would expect to see a lot of tackles from Matt Bailey in the opener.
Thus, he may be at the top of the league in number of tackles.
You would think so. Yeah, you would hope so. I think it's set up for that. Obviously, you know, coaches love when we're saying this stuff because then they'll be like, well, watch this. Now we're not even going to use it like that. You know, against UAB, we're not going to show any of that. We're just going to come out in a boring 4-3 defense and beat this team and then save all the good stuff for the Duke game or whatever. So it's not always going to be like, here's what the defense is and here's where every guy is on every play. But yes, it is more, I think the best way to describe what the defense would be, I said this to people, and this is probably unfair. A lot of people complained last year of, you know, some people don't like the defense where Miles Scott was 25 yards off the line of scrimmage, and they're giving up stuff underneath, but they're never giving up the big play kind of thing. You know, the bend but don't break.
Yeah, a lot of fans are telling me they should give up big plays.
So this is going to probably be add five more tackles for loss defense, but also there were two 24-yard runs in there as well. It's less of a never give up the big play and more of a forced third and 17. So we'll see how this staff calls it and how that does. But people who are familiar with, you know, what Matt Campbell's defense did at Iowa State or others that have used a similar thing, there isn't so much bend but don't break. It's take a risk. Sometimes you get the strip sack, and sometimes the guy is stunting or blitzing from a spot that they're running to, and nobody touches him for 12 yards. So it'll be different. It's going to be a lot different than the Aaron Henry defense. I could say that.
You saw some practice and took note of, for the very limited window, mm-hmm, who was in the secondary, mm-hmm, that appeared to be the front line secondary, mm-hmm, back line secondary, you know, the first guys.
Yes, yes.
So take that all with a grain of salt. I mean, no surprise, mm-hmm, Matthew Bailey and Xavier Scott were out there.
Yes, yes.
And Juice Clark, and was Mac Rusedich out there? Or
Rusedich was, and at least in that practice when they were just drilling five defensive backs at the same time, it was Jaquan Moore's, the JUCO transfer, at the other corner spot. But I don't think any of that is settled. Juice Clark is settled, Matt Bailey settled, Xavier Scott is settled. They're three of those five guys. If it's a true 3-3-5 and there are five in the back, and I think Rusedich, having played so much for these coaches, is probably well in the lead for the four spot. But the fifth, especially the wide corner, if they put Xavier Scott in the slot, and I'm sure he'll play out wide sometimes, but if Scott's in the slot or just playing inside, a more of a rover kind of a cover the tight end here, cover a slot wide receiver there, maybe you're blitzing, that kind of stuff. That fifth guy is going to be interesting, who's outside. It could be, there are several guys on the defense who could be that. You could see Nick Hankins, the freshman from Belleville, like, grab that spot. I think that one is pretty wide open, and they're looking.
You just
at
added.
Everybody.
You just wanted to make sure you weren't going to add.
Just want to say Belleville.
Yeah, you weren't going to add Metro the hometown East. Of. You hadn't to add the hometown of anybody else you've mentioned.
Metro East, Belleville West. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty wide open. I would say maybe the coaches don't even know where they're going to go there. Like, if you watch who they're drilling in practice, and again, we're only watching individual drills, so you're watching the corners put into pairs and sent out there with Corey Parker to do some kind of backpedaling drill. So it's not football. You're not watching 11-on-11. You're just watching hey, you guys are paired together today, and you guys are paired together today, and you know that type of thing. It really could be, and it could be Torrey Cox's younger brother, Tywan Cox. He's a sophomore now, second year player now, and I know they love him. So yeah, that's one of the positions at camp that's just wide, wide open. And I'm very curious to see if some of the younger guys jump in there.
Did you have the same experience last year as I did? I heard the most criticism about in the defense about linebacking.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Is this a system that turns that on its head and allows linebackers to be effective in a different way?
I'm going to be as honest as I can be. I don't know yet, because it's so, you know, I've gone and I've watched some film of Montana's defense. I've gone and see what they do. And Brett Bielema would immediately say, okay, but we've been telling you that we're doing an alternate version of that, something that we have come up with that's going to be kind of unique to Illinois football, so stay tuned. So when we start evaluating what Montana did, that's not what they're claiming they're going to do. So we don't really know.
It's not a copy-paste of Montana. This is inspired by...
The main thing we hear from quotes from Bielema and other coaches is how they want to confuse people. They want to show one look and everybody goes this way, and then show the same look and everybody goes that way. Now, every coach will tell you that.
Yeah, that's what every defense is designed to do.
Yes, but last year it wasn't that much of that. You know, the Henry defense wasn't that much of that.
That was more Ryan Walters.
You never saw that defense with the middle linebacker suddenly lined up on the edge and blitzing from the outside. The middle linebacker would just be like head on with the quarterback, and here's everybody's responsibilities. So I feel like they're going to, what was the quote from Bielema where he said, like, you might see the same look for three different plays and the same guy starting from the same position does three different things on three different plays, kind of thing. They keep talking about how, you know, how much of it is a smoke screen for everybody else and this and that. But I think we are going to see a fair bit of confusion and throw this guy. Now, everybody knows that when you do that, what's the... this is how I'm going to say it. You ever played Tecmo Bowl? Super Tecmo Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo?
Yeah.
You know how there was the one call, if you picked a certain call on the defense... hit snap and it's like brrr, and it's his tackle.
What so was it?
As long as you want to hear the sound again?
Yeah, yeah.
Brrr, and that was it. Like the,
one more time.
If you brrr, it was like a little my aperture is off. It was a
your aperture. you're a camera.
Yes. Wait, what's the thing?
Embouchure.
Embouchure. That's awesome. That's so great that I just said aperture. We're leaving that in. Yes. That's this kind of defense. And then there's also like, you might see a guy. So say they line up the middle linebacker on the outside. And it's like, oh, you're going to do this. And then we're blitzing two corners from here. You know, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff.
Now you're talking crazy, Robert.
When you do that, what if they have a play design going that way? And they just, you know, it's a little flip out to the running back. And you just blitz from over here. And there's not a guy within 15 yards of him. Last year's defense, I think, never really allowed for that, right? They weren't ever, like, putting themselves at risk in that, like, oh, God, if they call something like this right here and he's peeling out on the snap, we're going to be in trouble because he just stunted out of the spot where they're going to. So I think you're going to see some of those risks taken. If last year was a safe defense, this is a risky defense.
Yeah, but Brett Bielema has built his whole career on not being risky. I don't mean not being aggressive or bold, but he's not gonna go out there with the safety rope or the thing you have when you do the thing that's risky in the analogy.
Are you looking for a word here? Because I'm not following.
I don't know what I mean. I know what it is.
Yes.
When you tightrope between something, two things, and if you fall, there's a net.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes. This. I think that's a great way to put it, honestly. This is going to have a defense with no safety net at times. I think there's going to be we might get on this play a 9-yard loss, or it could be a 27-yard gain. Let's have some fun. You know, like, it's not exactly that, but that's the way I have framed this in my head. Is
this is how it makes you feel. I really don't think Brett Bielema is saying to his defense, you know, we got a chance here to put somebody behind the sticks.
Yes.
We even but got we might give up. We might give up a third of the field. So go get them, boys.
Let's go. Yes. Here's the best way I can explain it.
It kind of eliminates the smart of the tough, smart, dependable.
We heard a lot of strong words from Coach Bielema after the Wisconsin loss last year, where he said, changes are coming. He's like, obviously, we're focusing on Northwestern right now, but changes are coming. I think his frustration in that game, that was a, you knew Wisconsin didn't have a very good offense, but they were getting 5, 4, and then 4 yards and another first down. And they couldn't complete many passes, but they were just doing enough. And you're watching there like, somebody this is a terrible offense. Just get a, you put them in second and 13, they have no chance of getting a first down. But they're in second and 6 every time, and you're not doing anything. I feel like this is a defense that has a better ability of putting you into second and 13 and not having that long, methodical thing like we saw in the Wisconsin game where a bad offense could still move the ball just enough because it was playing so safe and not giving up the big play, even though they gave up an 80-yard run, that kept that like that. And so that's my view of this defense. I could be wrong. They might come out in something totally different and weird, and it might be even safer than last year's defense. We don't really, really know anything. The vibe I'm getting...
And it hasn't stopped us from talking about
it,
though.
Yes, yes. We could speculate all we want. It's August. This is the fun part.
Okay, linebackers. So... Daniel Brown's your Mike, your middle linebacker.
Yes, which just feels so weird that last year's edge rusher is this year's Mike. When I think Mike, I think of a guy standing right on the hash, staring at the quarterback's eyes, never moving from the dead center of the field. And supposedly he'll be used by, like, Ohio State has, you know, that Jack linebacker for years that would, like, he was just Jack of all trades, lined up everywhere on the field kind of thing. Sounds like that might be some of this, but we don't know, but it's just weird for me to hear the word Mike linebacker, which means middle linebacker.
It kind of fits with how Bobby Hauk has spoken, which is very general in the way he talks about things, but it's a little bit like, go play football.
Mm-hmm. I think the best...
See the guy with the ball, go tackle him.
Maybe the best way to frame this defense is like Daryl Prater in the center of the defensive line. Daniel Brown, Mike linebacker, but could line up anywhere. Matt Bailey, center of the back of the... Like, that spine, if you will, is everything. Like, that... Everything runs from that. You got to have a good guy in all three of those spots.
Well, that's true in any sport.
Yes.
The spine of your play. You know, baseball, it's your catcher, pitcher, center fielder, shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right up the middle. That's where you have to have your best players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If
I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, in basketball, yes, you're right. Up top of the point and somebody patrolling the paint is very important on defense.
Are you getting lost in water polo? Like how up the middle is strong there? I mean, goalkeeper's kind of in the middle.
Look, when I played high school tennis.
Don't.
My doubles partner and I would sometimes do the thing. You ever see the doubles team do the guy up at the net while your team is serving, doesn't go to the court. You're serving toward, just crouches down right on the center line. And then when the guy serves, he goes right instead of left, or he goes left instead of right. And then the middle guy's going for the volley. And you're like, I loved doing stuff like that in high school tennis of like, no, look, we got a different formation here. I got a little hand behind my back pointing to my doubles partner as he's serving, telling him which way I'm going to go, and him agreeing, us having like little signals, little words we would use to say, I'm going this way, you're going that way.
What was a word?
I don't remember.
That was your phrase?
Yes. It was 1990, so probably related to some type of, we talked about the hair metal CDs. It was probably something from a Slaughter song.
When I say Nirvana... That you go left.
That was until 91. Oh. In 90, it was still like...
Is Beastie Boys out yet?
No. We're just straight up.
Run DMC?
No. We're talking Southern Illinois mullet hair metal here, okay? We are only going with the Jackal song Chainsaw. I made a Jackal reference on Light the Eye. My career is fulfilled. Where were we? What was I talking about on the defense? The spine?
I think this reminds me a little bit what you're describing, what this defense could be. Monday's episode, we're going to talk to Chris Thomas, Illinois volleyball coach. Mm-hmm. If you're playing backyard volleyball, everybody's just kind of stands in the spot that they're in the rotation. In mm-hmm. high-level volleyball, you have to start as close as you can into the spot of rotation, but without not being in the rotation, but then everyone scatters to the spot that they want them to be in anyway.
Yes.
And you really kind of don't, but there is some, like, you don't know which way this person's going, and you're trying to delay it till the absolute last moment. Now, obviously, yes. A defense is reacting rather than initiating. Mm-hmm. But at the last moment, you're going to know where Daniel Brown is going.
Yes.
That's the whole thing here, right?
Yes, I think that's the theme of this defense, is a little bit of misdirection, a little bit of, and you tell any football coach that, and you talk about misdirection, their initial fear is like, oh God, like what if we do that and we just leave something wide, wide open? You know, that's why football coaches tend to be a lot safer and like, okay, fine, we're going to give up 5 yards and then 4 yards and then this and that, but at least we're not giving up that huge play because we did something risky and they took advantage of it. So that's what I'm fascinated with. Like, again, the thing I've written so many times on the website over the summer is we will know in the third quarter of the Duke game. Like, people ask me a question about the defense. I'm like, I don't think we'll really even learn everything we need to learn in the UAB game. By the third quarter of Duke, there's just going to be a moment for everybody. I'm like, oh, okay, this is what this defense is. Okay, I think I understand what we're trying to do now. I think I understand what the new stuff is. Third quarter Duke will understand.
Anything else you want to say about linebackers or the front line?
Yeah, linebackers.
I mean, who's actually rushing the quarterback? Joe Barna said to us, I mean, he's going to have his hand on the ground, but he's going to be rushing. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be doing it from, is it a defensive tackle or defense? I don't really care what they're called, but
he could be far inside. That's the crazy thing, is that, we don't exactly know how they'll line up. But last year's, let's go to a defense years ago of, okay, in the middle you have Calvin Avery, and then you got Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton either side of him. Those are the anchors. And then two guys on the edges, every time almost on the edges, you've got Akis and you've got, whoever, a cycle of different players that were paired with Gabe. And those guys are the edge, and they're holding the edge, and they're kind of defensive ends, but they're kind of linebackers. And everybody knew that made basic structure. This, I don't think I understand it yet. So these outside linebackers, if Daniel Brown is the Mike, is it Kreutz and Edmondson either side of him? And how are they lining up? And are they coming up forward into a slot between two defensive linemen? Or are they always overhanging the edge? And I don't think we know yet. And it's going to be fascinating to see. That's the fun thing of a new defense, is you always wonder, okay, maybe the whole thing for James Kreutz was that the last year he had some struggles, and maybe it was just part of the scheme wasn't the fit for him. There are going to be players out there of like, oh, well, now this new scheme fits him like a glove. Like this is, okay, let's go, because these responsibilities in this new defense are a much better fit for what that player does. Take a guy like Demetrius John. We don't know what we'll get from him, third-year defensive lineman. He was always kind of a tweener. Maybe he's not big enough to be a Keith Randolph, but he's maybe not quick enough to be out there on the edge like a Gabe Akis. Well, maybe this is a defense for him. And like, oh, well, that tweener guy, well, this is perfect. Now he can just blossom because he fits these defensive end, defensive tackle roles, these defensive line roles that they have, and this is perfect for what his skill set is. So that'll be the fascinating thing in the first few games.
Third quarter of the Duke game. We're going to record a podcast in the third quarter of the Duke game.
We should. Now we know. Now we understand.
Okay, so defensive line. Prater is your nose tackle. Guys like Barna and
Pat
who?
Pat Farrell.
Uh-huh. Defensive line is where I am right now am thinking it's just this is a numbers game. These are our frontline guys. Mm-hmm. But you always are going to sub the defensive line the most anyway. Get that.
Yes.
But you haven't seen anything yet. Yeah. If we play, you noted it. If we, there's like six deep on each. If we play 18 guys, fine. We're just going to keep running bodies out there that are fresher than you. Is that a thing?
Like they in the UAB game and the SIU game, I feel like we'll see a lot of guys. Just like give him a series here. Let's see what he's got.
Yeah, you can do that when you're up and it's mm-hmm. you know you should be able to dominate the game. But I'm just saying, this is not Johnny Newton's out there for 95% of the right. snaps and definitely. Somehow is getting stronger by the quarter.
Yes. And by the way, a thing I've been pushing, and this wasn't my thing, Pat Farrell, I had a friend who suggested it should be spelled F-E-R-A-L. So I'm going to make the whole...
Farrell?
We're just going to make that a thing. Pat Farrell is going to be a thing this year. The shirts and everything.
Two L's?
It has so much potential. Just one. Like a tiger.
Here's my question. Tangent. Yesterday, I'm driving by Campbell Alumni Hall on mm-hmm. Lincoln Avenue. Mm-hmm. And there was a big event outside, but they had a big sign that said in the Illinois font, "We are family," mm-hmm. like it says on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Did Brett Bielema start this?
I know exactly who started it. It was Travis Perry. He was the graphics guy. Bielema cited it to him. He's still in graphics. I think he's more DIA now than just football, but this was Travis Perry's idea. He presented it to Bielema when he got here. I've got this idea of family with ILL instead of just one L, and it took off. So all credit goes to Travis Perry.
So it started in the football program. Mm-hmm. I associated with Bielema just because he was the one pushing it on social media. Mm-hmm.
But then it blossomed to all the programs, and you'll see Shauna tweet it, and you'll see basketball people talk about it, and I've seen it around the university now too.
Anything else you want to say in the defensive line?
It's just we're going to learn a lot. I mean, we might be talking about Pat Farrell right now. You thought of F-E-R-A-L. I know you did right there. We might be talking about Pat Farrell right now, and by a couple weeks, one of these JUCO guys like Joshua Davis is suddenly like, wow, he's playing 60% of the snaps now. We're just going to learn a lot in the UAB game and some in the Duke game, and there's 18 guys for three spots, and we will see. What if, maybe some of the freshmen are like, wow, he needs to be, that happened with Angelo McCollum 2 years ago. I was like, wow, I think he needs to be in the rotation right now. Like, he needs to be out there. So we could see that. There's like five guys that are probables in the rotation, and then there's probably 10 guys who could be out there in some way, and we'll just see who the new defensive line coach likes.
All right, I have a would you, mm-hmm. if it meant, question.
Okay.
When we wrap.
All right.
I wanted to bring this up in an earlier episode. We just didn't have time, but we do now. You tweeted about it. I saw it. You tend to tweet about things that I just see. This is Denver Broncos preseason camp. Pat Bryant is flashing. Mm-hmm. Not that flashing, Robert.
He has his hazards on.
No.
Yep.
He is, what do the kids say? He's popping. He is taking big strides.
Yes.
As a wide receiver with the Broncos mm-hmm. in camp. And the host, interviewer, reporter for the Broncos, I'm not sure what outlet it was, is interviewing Sean Payton about
it. Was Kay Adams, yeah. She used to be NFL Network, and now she has her own like podcast, Up and Adams.
Oh, okay. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Feels like I should know that, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's going camp to camp to camp. So that's what she was doing.
All right. So why is Pat Bryant having the step up that he is having? Here it is.
I want whatever Pat Bryant's having to drink, whatever he's hydrating, right. Wick. How the hell are you going to keep this kid off the field?
We're not.
What?
Yeah, we're
going
to play
the jump. Explain the jump.
Well, he's real confident. We saw it last year on. Well,
I don't know if I did.
It's hard when you're in LA to see it all. but we saw it like here day to day, and he's got really strong hands in traffic. He's got that gift where, and anyone who runs well after the catch, their feet stay on the turf, uh-huh. And his feet stay on the ground. He's got really, really good hands. So you're seeing someone in year two with that confidence. He's extremely smart, so he knows all the positions.
But then Bo's throwing it where only he can get it. Like, yeah. What does that show?
There's a lot of confidence in his catch radius. He's big.
Yeah.
Illinois,
there we go. There's Illinois.
As I said on Twitter, I've been waiting 30 years. Like, I've been waiting for these moments for decades where people would use the term Illinois in that sense. Now, as I said when I wrote about this, to be fair, she went to high school in Illinois. He went to high school in Illinois. He played at Eastern Illinois. I'm sure they've had conversations about, like, you know, hey, they're from the same area. But he has also, there are many articles in the offseason talking about how he feels like he's got this little secret of finding players like Paucho and finding players like Miles Scott and finding players like Pat Bryant at Illinois. And it means something. It's a thing now that, like, Illinois, it just means something.
Here's my question for you that I'm passing on from, I saw this on Twitter. It's got 1.6 million views, so. Maybe you saw it too. This is from a guy named Chris Phillips. I don't know who he is, but it got 1.6 million views. Okay. Would you, I'm going to rephrase this.
Okay.
And I got to go to the, wide here for this.
All right.
If it could guarantee that your favorite college football team wins a national championship this season, would you punch your best friend as hard as you could in their face?
So best man of my wedding, Aaron, could take a punch probably. Here, can I answer it in the most Robert way possible?
Is there any other way?
I would not. It's about the journey and not the destination.
Oh, for Pete's sake, you're going to get a national championship. Lay it on him.
But not that way. Not like that. I want every ounce of it. So I punch a guy in the face, and then I know I'm getting it. That takes all the joy out of it.
Oh, you mean you'd rather your team just, like, win a bunch of games?
Yes.
And
yes.
Be really good?
I would want to be on the ride. And look at what Indiana fans just didn't get a national. They beat Alabama by 30 in the Rose Bowl. Like, they have, like, their top five moments of all time all happen in the same season. So I would want all of that, not a shortcut with punching somebody in the face.
Are you sure, like, Don Fisher just didn't put a haymaker onto somebody?
That's a good point. Who knows? Who knows? We maybe need to investigate this. That could be the answer to how did they do this.
Next week, we're going to talk with Chris Thomas, as we mentioned, Illinois volleyball coach. We got more football. We could see an open practice this weekend, so we'll bring you our takeaways from that. Also on the schedule for next week, Martin O'Donnell, former All-American, offensive line, former radio analyst for Illinois. Those are some of the things planned in future episodes. Thanks to our hosts here in the Center for the Innovation and Teaching and Learning on the campus of the University of Illinois inside the Armory. And thanks to Robert Rosenthal. We'll talk to you again next time when we light the eye.